Hi, it's great to have your company. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. My name's Simon Smart.
And I'm Justine Toe.
Well, it's what we spend most of our time doing, whether it's paid or unpaid, whether it's a dream job or endless drudgery, whether we live to work or work to live. Work is a pretty dominant reality in our lives. Catherine Leary Alsdorf knows a fair bit about work. She worked for 20 years in the high-tech industry in California and New York, serving as a CEO and a company president before founding the Center for Faith and Work at Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York from 2002. She recently co-authored a book about faith and work, which is called Every Good Endeavor, Connecting Your Work to God's Plan for the World. That was with Timothy Keller, the pastor of Redeemer. Catherine is in the studio. It's great to have you in, Catherine.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Now, you write about work as a Christian, and what is the Christian vision for work? Is work a good thing? Is it a bad thing? It doesn't really matter. What is it?
Yeah, I think the Christian Bible gives you a perspective on how to think about work, how to do your work, and sort of how to feel about your work. So from beginning to end, it has a lot to offer. In particular, the Bible says that we were made in God's image with all these gifts in order to work in the world and make something wonderful out of the natural resources of this earth that God created. So from the very, very beginning of our story, work is a good thing.
Well, we might sort of prosecute that a bit further as we go. But first of all, tell us about your experience of work. Now, you were a CEO, you've been a president of companies. You made a pretty dramatic career change when you formed this center. Now, looking back as you think about the trajectory of your career, how's that influenced how you now think about work and talk about work?
Yeah, I started out my career actually as a teacher and have had a number of careers. I think, like most people today, I made some major shifts in my career. I then moved to aerospace engineering and economics, so a pretty dramatic shift from teaching, and then moved into satellite television and satellite television to hardware software for online education and then to internet online leadership education. So a pretty wide range of careers. I think for me, I was seeking in every career shift something that used my gifts in a reasonable way to do something that was worthwhile in the world. And I think that's a struggle, a desire of most of us. Whether we understand the Christian story or not, we're sort of driven to be able to use the gifts that we have to do something that does good in the world.
You've spoken about the gifts and that desire to use the skills and talents that you've been equipped with. How does that, how do you make sense of that? Because I believe that you had a period of unemployment before you came to Redeemer. So how does that desire to use your gifts and also that experience of unemployment, how does that affect the way that you approach work?
Yes, I've had several periods of unemployment. So I think that those times help you appreciate employment when you have it in a much richer way. But I don't want to leave you thinking that I think even employment is all such an idyllic, wonderful thing. It is extraordinarily hard and broken and difficult, which points to another part of the biblical storyline that the world isn't as God intended it to be. And so whether you're working and get paid for your work, or whether you're not working because you can't find a job, you're just really seeing some of the effects of the brokenness in the world where it's not as it's meant to be.
You definitely get that sense of when people are unemployed, there's something deeply painful about that. And it's not only that they're not getting the paycheck, it's something sort of inherent to who we are, isn't it? It seems that way anyway. You're talking to people a lot about work. What's your sense of the state of the workplace today? How do people feel about their work, and has that been changing over the last several years?
I think it's been changing many times in the last 100 years, and we're in another radical change. I don't know that we have even begun to think about the extent of change that we're in. But one of the shifts prior to this current change was the shift from more industrial worker to more knowledge worker. And I don't think our culture's really caught up to that shift yet. The knowledge worker is never done. You can never know enough about how to do your job well. The knowledge is always expanding, so you're always behind the curve of what you need to know to do your job well. And I think that the rhythms of work that were there both societally and just by nature, the sun rises and the sun falls, are no longer there. We don't have those rhythms and boundaries to rest and restore and laugh and play, do other things that really make the work part of our lives more rich and more healthy. So the rhythms, I think, is one of the big issues. I think that the current trend is much broader than I could describe, but the ability to work remotely from any place in the world, to work individually without other people around, I think is one dynamic that's a very big change. In the last 20 years, most people's community was in their workplace. And as we're working at home more in our pajamas, not with somebody to socialize with during the course of our work, I think our human need to interact with other people is going to really feel that. So how our society is going to adjust and build in some healthy humanizing patterns is going to be pretty interesting to watch.
When it comes to work, many different attitudes towards it. Some of us just live for weekends and holidays. We're pretty good at that in this country. Others seem to entirely get their identity from work and are more or less workaholics. What do you think are some of the potential dangers for us as we engage in work?
Yes, I think that some of us are workaholics because we're so afraid of the part of us that just wants to play all the time and not work at all. So we work to hide the fact that we'd really rather not be working. So I think that, yeah, I think all of us wrestle with that, that how much we work and our immediate gratification for something that's less of a struggle. So it's easier to play. It's more immediately short-term rewarding to play. And yet we're made to have to solve problems and figure out things, and some of those things take a long time to accomplish. So that ability to persevere through things that are hard and then see wonderful results at the end is also an important part of developing us into the people we're meant to be. My guess is, if you are able to do nothing but play and relax and have leisure, there would be a huge emptiness in your soul.
Catherine, you've been saying that we've been made to work, and that, you know, if we're only playing, that we are missing out on something. Can you talk about the sense of vocation, you know, a Christian concept that our culture has picked up on? Why is the idea of vocation so inspiring and energizing?
You know, I think that a key to living a good life is to not live it for yourself. And a vocation gets you outside of yourself to serve others. And so that vocation could be making a product that others enjoy and benefits their life, or it could be an actual service occupation that is helping other people. The vocation, the calling to get outside of your own needs so that you're doing something that makes this world a better place, I think is key to who we're made to be.
Is it true to say that work is, I guess, one part of vocation? It's like this all-encompassing, you know, call to do something, and work is just one way that you might fulfill that?
I think that paid work versus work is an important distinction. That many of us are working outside of our paid jobs, and that is part of how we're serving our families or our neighbors or the world in some way. And some of our work we get paid for. And our goal is to really try to have both of those things, use our gifts and use our talents and serve others so that we're not in these bifurcated lives. But sometimes that's not possible. And sometimes our more satisfying work is not paid. Sometimes our more satisfying work is paid.
All of us would love to have that fulfilling job, right? That actually makes the most of our skills and our training, where we feel valued and where we feel like we're making an impact. But there are lots of ways that our actual experience of work falls short of this, and you alluded to this before. So how do you, I guess, encourage other people to cope with disappointment when it doesn't quite work out the way that we want it to?
Yes, which it will never in this world work out like we want it to. We might have a few moments or flashes where it's like, ah, this is a foretaste of what work was meant to be. But most of the time, we are, it's harder than we want it to be. Other people make it very difficult because they have a different idea of what good is than we have. Other people might actually be doing it very selfishly. And so that's an obstacle to a vision of work that's really serving the world in a positive way.
There are plenty of people who approach work with a very different attitude to the one you've described, which is one of kind of serving other people. Would that be an explanation for you, for at least partly, why for many people work is a bit of a necessary evil, a bit of a drudgery in the end?
I do think that in the end, serving yourself, seeking pleasure, whether it's seeking riches, whether it's seeking power, serving the self is always the formula to a life that becomes smaller and smaller and smaller and less rich. And serving others is the way to break out of that. I mean, that's, I think, just a given to how we were made and how we were constructed. Unfortunately, it doesn't feel like that in the moment. So all of us, including me, in a moment of decision, will often say, well, I need to take care of myself. I need to, you know, I'm in a difficult circumstance. How do I save my own skin in this environment? It's very counterintuitive for us to say, okay, here's a moment to turn outward from myself and try to serve other people in this context.
I want to ask you about this idea of calling and vocation. Is this not maybe just an indulgence of the wealthy and the educated? I mean, presumably the factory worker in Bangladesh doesn't necessarily think of this as a calling.
Yeah, I think sometimes your social circumstances don't give you as many opportunities. Sometimes it's your own physical capabilities. We are not all born with equal competencies, and yet people who are severely handicapped still have a desire to use the gifts that they have in some way that serves other people. So I think it's important, as we think about this idea of calling, to realize that sometimes we can move ourselves in a position that uses our gifts, but sometimes we're in some pretty horrendous circumstances. So if you can, the same viewpoint of calling has to apply to Dietrich Bonhoeffer when he's in a concentration camp. I mean, he obviously didn't choose that, but he is called at that point by the God that he worships to use the best of his gifts and the best of his strengths to help the other people in his midst. And I mean, that's an almost overwhelming kind of calling to contemplate. God has you in your particular circumstances in life for a reason. He wants you to be joyful in that circumstance. He wants you to contribute your best and work excellently in that circumstance. He wants you to work in a way that serves and loves the other people around you. And I think there's a joy that comes from doing what you're given in that moment well, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
The book that Catherine wrote with Tim Keller is Every Good Endeavor, Connecting Your Work to God's Plan for the World. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here.